Everybody that loves the Lord said amen.
Amen.
Hope y'all are happy to be in church today.
Amen.
And I know we're happy to be in church today. And there's a lot of people, maybe not in America, but on the other side, that wish they had what you have today.
Yeah.
Amen. And if America ain't careful, it may get that way. And hopefully before it does, the Lord will come back and call us on out of here. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we'll go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Didn't get to get through the whole psalm on that Sunday night. And so I figured we'd just jump back in it today and maybe finish it out if we get that far. Amen? Psalm 1, so we appreciate the invitation to come back and be with y'all, and it's an honor, and it's a humbling thing to be able to stand and open up the gospel, open up the Word of God to people. And let me just say this. And if I'm allowed to be encouraging, it seems to me y'all are doing a great job. And it seems to me y'all are doing a fantastic job going through this season that you're in. People are still showing up to Sunday school. And people are still showing up to church on Sunday morning. And that's a rare thing when a church begins to go a lengthy time, a few months, or however long it's been now, 3, 4 months, 2 months, longer. So you've been longer, and people are still being faithful. And that means that there's somewhere there's been some good leadership, amen?
Amen.
And there's been some people of God that love the Lord and love His church. And if there's any time to have an excuse not to go to the house of God, it's today's timing, amen? It's in today's world, today's America has given you every excuse to not come to church, but y'all are here, and y'all don't even have a pastor, and you're still showing up, trusting the Lord, amen? And typically, where there is no shepherd, the sheep are scattered, and that's what the Word of God teaches, but somehow through these, however long it's been, y'all been able to stay unified, y'all's spirits are all good. And so that's a blessing to see, amen? And so I just want to encourage you. Y'all are doing a great job. And keep trusting the Lord. And He will show you. He will provide for you. He will take care of you, amen? And I promise you, you take care of His church, He'll take care of you. And amen? And so let's go to Psalm 1. We won't be able to be here tonight. I told Brother Randy. Did I get your name right? Yes. Brother Randy. I told Brother Randy that. And so last time we tried to drive back, it was the worst experience we've ever had. And with Abel, and we was just all tired. He got home at like 2 in the morning. We had to stop 100 million times with Abel. And so this time, and I didn't even have to be back at work that time. This time I do. And so we're going to leave after we fellowship with y'all. And I just want to encourage you, if you have any questions that you want to ask me, the pulpit committee has any questions y'all want to ask me, you feel free to ask whatever question that's in your heart to ask. Amen? And you'll get an answer. You may like it. You may not like it. I don't know. It depends what the question is. But you feel free to ask whatever you want to ask. And amen? And so it's while y'all are doing all this, it's a good time to ask all the questions. And because once you vote, you ain't going to be able to ask no more questions. I mean, you can, but you done voted, amen? And so now is the time to ask all the questions that's in your heart, that's on the church's heart, amen? And so we won't be here Sunday night, but we are looking forward to what the Lord's going to do this morning, and just grateful to be here and see everybody smiling faces, amen? Psalm 1, if you're there, say amen. Psalm 1, the Bible says, and I'll probably give a brief overview. of a little bit of what we touched on last time, and then kind of pick up from there. Is that all right? All right, so if you're in Psalm 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. If I turn this, my notes are upside down. That's all right. I don't really need them. I just have them there just in case. All right, Psalm 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." I noticed somebody put it on the sign out there too this morning, last night when we pulled in. I said, "Look at there, they done put Psalm 1 on the sign." And so, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And so just a brief overview, the psalmist David is trying to encourage us, trying to let us know, right, blessed is the man. If I'm going to live a blessed life, a joyful life, a happy life in Christ, there are some things that I have to, I got to abide by in order to stay living that kind of life. Amen. And so we talked about just the advice. He said, don't take counsel from the ungodly. Don't take what God has given you that is precious, that God has put in your life, and take it to this ungodly world and get advice from them. They're not going to be able to direct you in the right path, because their mind's not like your mind. Their heart's not like your heart. Their spirit has not been quickened. So they're not going to be able to help you direct in your life by taking counsel from the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. The acquaintance that you keep. That's when he said, don't take advice from the ungodly. Don't hang out with sinners, right? That's pretty self-explanatory. Be a separate. Come out from among them. Be a separate from the world. I ought not to put myself on purpose, right? I know sometimes we are in a situation and it forces us to be around ungodliness or sinners, but I ought never to put myself in that position on purpose. Amen? I'm still flesh. You're still flesh. You're still a lady. I'm still a man. We are still sinful people. Amen? And so we have to keep ourselves accountable. We have to be cautious, because no matter how good of a man you are still capable of doing the worst thing the worst man can do. No matter how good of a lady you are still capable of doing the worst thing you could ever think of doing without the help of God in your life. The only thing that makes me good is Christ in me. The only thing that makes you good is Christ in you. And then he goes on to say, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, the ambassador that you could become. You not only begin to hang out with sinners, but you begin to be the main attraction. You begin to draw other people into that sin with you. And so the psalmist said right off the bat, right in the opening pages, if you want a blessed life, if you want that happy, joyful life in Christ, he said you better take heed to some things. Amen? And so that's kind of where we left off. And so we'll go on. Well, I think we went a little further. We went through verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doeth he meditate day and night. Number one, the word that I must have. And I'm trying to stay in like a teaching mode, not get in the preaching mode. So the word I must have, in the law of the Lord, in his law doeth he meditate day and night. If I'm going to have a blessed Christian walk, what am I going to do? I'm going to meditate in the word of God day and night. In the law, that's his word of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He says, but his delight. That word delight, it means his pleasure. The things that he desired. We ought to have a desire for his word. We ought to have a hunger for his word. If I'm going to be a blessed man, I'm going to be hungry for the word of God. It's going to be something that I take pleasure in doing. I'm going to take pleasure in meditating upon his word. I'm going to take pleasure. It's not something I'm mad about. I ain't upset about reading his word. I want to. I desire to. It helps me. It feeds me. It gives me a drink. It gives me some bread. It helps my life. My joy comes from this book. Our happy comes from this book. Spurgeon said this. If y'all read after Spurgeon, he said in the day of his prosperity, he got a Psalms out of the Word of God, and in the night of his affliction, he comforts himself with promises out of that same book. It is the daily bread of a true believer. So he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In this law doth he meditate. That word meditate day and night means to ponder. So it's going to be in my mind. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think on his word. Y'all ever do that? Just during your work day, the Lord give you something and you think on that all day? Well, guess what you're doing? You're delighting in his word. You're meditating in his word. You're doing what he's telling us to do. You're going to speak about it. Y'all ever shared the gospel with somebody? Ever shared something that God gave you with a friend? Went to church, called another friend that maybe goes to a church in another county, another state, somewhere in the world, maybe right down the road, and you said, this is what the pastor preached, or this is what God gave me in the service, and you shared that? Well, then you're doing it. You're meditating upon it. You're delighting in his word. So in his law doth he meditate to study. Y'all ever studied your Bible? Well, y'all are on track then. Y'all are meditating. You're delighting. It means to talk about it, to mourn over it, to pray over it. Y'all ever get your Bible and read something and don't understand it? And you go and pray about it and say, Lord, I'm having trouble. Lord, I don't quite understand what this passage is trying to say. I don't know, Lord, you've put me in this passage. I know you're trying to take something and put it in my... But Lord, I'm struggling with it. Can you give me some light on it? And the Lord helps you with it and kind of gives you some insight about what he's saying in that passage. That's what it means to meditate day and night, to delight in it, to take pleasure in it. It's something in your life that is a major part of who you are. So the word I must have, the work, number two, the work he'll do. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Matthew 15:13 says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So not everything that's planted is planted by who? By the Father. Right? Just because somebody seems to be planted don't mean the Father is the one who planted them there. And in that passage it talks about if he is not planted by the Father, he'll be rooted up and thrown in the fire and be gone. And in this passage he said, and he shall be who? Who's he? The man that meditates day and night in the Word of God. The man that mourns and prays and talks and he thinks about the Word. The man that is not taking counsel from the ungodly. The man that's not standing in the way of sinners. The man that's not sitting in the scene of the scornful. That individual, the Bible says, he shall be planted by Christ. Christ is going to plant you by what? The rivers of water. That word, the tree, it's a place by a river. Planted means this, to plant. That means it was not there before, but it's there now. Not only is it there, but he gave it a specific spot. Y'all follow me there? That's exactly what God, what Christ has done for you and me. He came by. He uprooted me. I was somewhere I did not need to be before he saved me. Y'all following me? That's what he did. He uprooted me. And he took me somewhere. And he planted me in a specific spot. Exactly where he wanted you. Amen? And if God took the time to go to where you were and uproot you and take you somewhere else and plant you there by the rivers of water, he is not wasting his time. He did it on purpose. And that's exactly what he's done in our life. When I was lost, he came by where I was. He uprooted me. He said, I'm going to plant you over here at your home church. And I'm going to plant you there by the rivers of water. And that water, that running river of water, we know that's a picture of what? The Holy Ghost. He's going to plant me somewhere where I can get filled with the Holy Ghost, where I can grow, where I can be blooming, where I can do and be exactly what God wants me to be. That's exactly what Christ has done in your life. He went where you were, picked you up, planted you somewhere, but he put you somewhere on purpose. He gave you a specific spot. It wasn't just random. It was his will. It was his divine will. It was God's plan for your life. But God didn't put you somewhere in the desert to dry out. He didn't put you somewhere in the desert to die. No, Christ puts you somewhere where you could get a drink from the river of water and continue to grow in Christ. And he, that's you, the one that Christ saved, the one that meditates on his word, the one that talks about it, thinks about it, prays over it, the one that goes to a godly individual for counsel, the one that don't get in the way of people coming to Christ or people coming to church, the one that's not taking people into their sin. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. Now notice this. It didn't say river. Did it? So that means to tell me if it has an S on the end of it, it don't just say river. So he didn't just plant me somewhere where there's only one source for me to get a drink from. He planted me somewhere where there's not a river, but there's rivers. There's multiple rivers for you to get a drink from. That word rivers is a small channel of water. It's more than one. Is there more than one way to hear from God? Is there more than one way where you are right now, where God has planted you? Wherever you are right now, some of y'all live an hour away. Some of y'all maybe live right down the road. Some of y'all, I don't know. That's the only two I actually know. I know somebody lives right down the street, and I know somebody lives an hour away. Wherever else y'all live, I ain't real sure. But wherever that is, wherever you work, wherever God has you, is there more than one way for you to hear from God? Why? Because he didn't just give you a river. He didn't just give you a church. But he gave you rivers. Amen. He gave you a church. He gave you a prayer closet. He gave you a personal Bible devotion study time in your life. Amen. He gave you a radio that you can turn the gospel station on and hear a good song come over the radio. There's gospel CDs you can buy. He has given us all kind of channels, rivers in our life to where we are planted right now, to where we got multiple sources to drink from. Because I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes my church source is a little dry. Is that too honest? Sometimes my prayer closet is a little dry. Sometimes when I open my Bible, it's just a little dry. Not because the Bible is dry. Maybe it's just me. Sometimes I'll hear preaching and just go in, go out, and I just go about my day. Why? It's not because the preaching's wrong. It's not because the Bible's wrong. It's just sometimes there's certain things that just are in my own life get dried up, but He's given me other sources. When one area of my heart or life is dried, maybe I go in my prayer closet and I'll go pray and don't feel like nothing happened. That don't mean ain't nothing happening. It just feels that way. But then I'll go on and turn a song on, and the Lord used that song to invest in my heart, and it brings me joy, or it helps me and encourages me. Maybe the song ain't helping me, and I open my Bible and He gives me a verse, He gives me a word, and that helps me. I'm just saying, there is no excuse in the life that we live, where we're planted, that we should ever not have somewhere to get a drink from. So He planted me not by a river, but He planted me by rivers. The rivers of pardon, the rivers of grace, the rivers of promise, the rivers of communion with Christ are a never-failing source of supply. He said that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. Y'all know everybody has an individual fruit that you're going to bring forth, because there's some fruit that you're going to bear that I can't bear. Amen? There's not one tree in the world that has the capability of bearing every fruit that you could possibly eat. And there's not one individual that can bear all the fruit that God wants to bear. Your walk with Jesus is an individual walk with Christ. Personal. And there's fruit that He has for you to gain that I'll never see. And there's fruit that I'll gain that you'll never see. Y'all believe that? Amen. He said, that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. So that means you may be bringing forth fruit right now, and I may not be. But 2 months down the road, I may be bringing forth fruit, and you may not be. Why? Because there is a time to plant, a time to water, and a time to bear fruit. Same thing in your life. There is a time where God is planting some things down deep in your heart. There are some times where God is watering everything He planted in you. And then there's going to be some times where He allows it to bear fruit. We will go through seasons of life, but each season comes new fruit. That word bringeth, it means to give or to add to a place. God has something for you to give or to add to a place. Amen? You have something that only you are able to add to New Hope Baptist Church. You have something that only you are able to add to your home. You have something that only you are capable of adding to your workplace. Fruit is a reward. And He said this, His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His leaf shall not wither. That word wither means it fall away, faint, fail. It will not lose its beauty nor its fruitfulness. The word prosper means to push forward, to break out, to be profitable, to be good. If I'm living that blessed life and doing everything we've talked about, it's impossible for me to fail God. I didn't say you ain't going to feel like you failed him, right? But our feelings don't line up with our faith. Just because I feel like I failed him does not mean the faith that Christ sees me performing, that's not a failure to him. It may not go the way I hoped it would go, right? Y'all ever journeyed on something in your life and it didn't turn out the way you thought it would go, but you went out by faith to do it, not knowing the end result? Just because it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to does not mean you're a failure. Why? Because you did it by faith. And Christ, he did not see the end result. He's seen the faith the whole time you were trying. Amen. You got to be careful in church, the world. A man starts a church, or this church, I seen a thing out there, I think it was in the 60s. Is that right? I seen a little monument thing out there by the door, Fellowship Hall, this morning. I was walking around praying, and I went over there and seen it. And I think somebody started the church in the 60s. Well, guess what? The church, it's not 2,000 members. You'd think if you started it back in the 60s, by now, we'd have more than 40 people. If we're not careful, our flesh will think that's a failure. But in Christ's eyes, it's not. It's a success. To where there was no gospel in the 60s, to now in 2021, there's still a gospel, Bible-believing, old-fashioned church. Why? Because generation after generation had faith to keep going. It didn't matter there's not 150, 200 people in here. What matters is that there's been 40 that's been faithful, and God sees their faithfulness, not the number of people in church. I'll give you the next little part real quick, because it's almost 10:45. So then he switches it, right? He switches. The psalmist switches to dealing with the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. He said, they're not like this. They're not this way. They're not. Everything we've talked about, he said, erase it from your mind. The ungodly are nothing like that. Complete opposite. He said, but they're like the chaff. He said, they're not like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're not being planted. He said, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They don't have no roots. They're not being planted. He said, they're like the chaff which the wind just driveth away. Therefore, anytime you see therefore in the Bible, you always have to ask, why is it therefore? So therefore, referring back to the ungodly, which the wind driveth away, therefore, because of that, the ungodly shall not stand. It's hard to stand when you ain't never been rooted. He said they won't stand in the judgment. Look, the ungodly may be looking like they're standing right now, but in the day of the judgment, they're not going to stand no more. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. They may be brave and bold and outspoken now, but there's going to come a day where that they've been like this the whole time. And when judgment comes, they're not going to be able to stand because they ain't never been rooted. But they will bow the knee. And they will fall at his feet. And they will confess him as Christ. He said, now, not stand in the judgment, nor sinners, in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. There's going to come a day where we're going to be separated. When the Lord comes back, those that are saved in Christ will be sitting at the supper table of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those that never got saved, they'll be separated. He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows your way. And it's right next to him. You're seated right next to him right now. Y'all know that? Right now, you're seated next to him. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. So at the beginning, the first half of the psalm, he's trying to encourage the saints to say, look, don't do this. Don't stand in the way. Just love your Bible, right? That's basically what he's telling us. Just love our Bible. Love the Word of God. Meditate in it. He's going to plant you somewhere. He's going to have a work for you to do. Don't worry about it. He said the ungodly may be raising Cain now. But he said, but there's going to come a day where they won't stand against you no more. They may be standing against the church now, but they're going to come a day where they're not standing against the church anymore. So just stay in love with him. Stay in love with your Bible. Let him plant you somewhere. Work for him while he's planted you there. If God moves you somewhere else, get planted there. Do all you can where you are. Amen. All right, so I believe it's about that time. It is 10:44. So we'll take a break.